I'll try that again. Good afternoon. Hello. So as Dr. Carter mentioned, I'm a research fellow over at Harvard Medical School, Fellowship in General Medicine, and a primary care provider at the Cambridge Health Alliance. And I'm excited to share with you my research. And this particular study is called, Is Medicaid Associated with Access to Care and Chronic Disease Outcomes, a National Perspective? I'd like to begin by acknowledging my mentors and collaborators for this project, who are listed here and affiliated with these institutions. And neither my colleagues nor I have any conflicts of interest to disclose for today. So let's begin with some context. Prior research has demonstrated that the lack of health insurance is associated with negative health outcomes, including foregone care, bankruptcy, and increased mortality. So in an effort to increase the rates of health insurance coverage, the Affordable Care Act sought to expand Medicaid coverage for low-income individuals, and this happened, as you know, in most but not all states. With the increased national attention on the Medicaid program and the discussion about Medicaid expansion, some controversy has arisen about the ability of Medicaid to actually improve health outcomes. And a key study renewing some of this criticism comes from the Oregon Health Insurance Experiment. As the only randomized controlled trial examining the impact of expanding Medicaid coverage to a previously uninsured population, it did not show any significant changes in physical health measurements, thus leading some to conclude that Medicaid coverage does not actually improve health outcomes as a general matter. Now, the Oregon Health Insurance Experiment did increase healthcare utilization. And one number that really struck with me was the fact that in their uninsured population, individuals reported having, on average, 5.5 provider visits in the last year. Before I came to Boston, I was practicing in Boise, Idaho, with a very rural patient population, and really struggled with being able to have my uninsured patients come and see me sometimes more than once per year. So this number struck me as being quite high, actually. And some have proposed that the safety net system in the Portland metropolitan area is more robust than what's observed in the rest of the country. And if so, this would reduce the potential gains that we could observe from expanding Medicaid coverage. Therefore, we sought to determine, in a nationally representative sample, the effect of having Medicaid insurance versus being uninsured on outpatient healthcare utilization, as well as awareness and control for chronic conditions. The data source for our study was the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which includes individuals of the U.S. civilian non-institutionalized population and is conducted by the Centers for Disease Control. One unique feature of this survey instrument is that it also includes physical examination and laboratory data, so we can actually make assessments of presence of a chronic condition in an individual even if they don't report having it on the survey. We compiled data from years 1999 through 2012 and focused our analysis on non-elderly adults living below the federal poverty line. We chose this threshold because before the Affordable Care Act, this was a commonly used threshold for Medicaid eligibility. So in our study, we had 1,485 individuals with Medicaid coverage and 2,975 individuals who were uninsured. So let's talk a little bit about the key variables. For our predictor, we use self-reported insurance status. And prior research has validated that a self-report of having Medicaid versus being uninsured in the NHANES instrument is valid. For outcomes, we first looked at outpatient healthcare provider visits. Now, this is a metric that has been accepted and promoted through the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality as a metric of access to care. The survey instrument queries in these categories of having a provider visit in the last year of 0, 1, 2 to 3, 4 to 9, 10 to 12, or 13 or more visits. In our subsequent analysis, we dichotomized this into having 0 versus 1 or more visits in the prior year. And then we chose to examine awareness and control of some chronic conditions of public health salience, namely diabetes, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, and overweight. So now I'd like to speak about how we determined whether individuals were aware or had control of their chronic conditions. As I previously mentioned, the NHANES includes physical examination and laboratory data. So based on using measurements such as the blood pressure, the hemoglobin A1C, the cholesterol level, and the BMI, we can make determinations about whether an individual has diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, or is overweight. And then define it as such. So we define people as being aware if they reported being told by a healthcare professional previously that they had this condition. But given concerns about low health literacy in individuals, we also included if patients were currently taking a medication known to treat that condition as meeting criteria for being aware of their condition. So this comes up in clinical practice a lot for me, where I'll ask a patient, do you have any chronic conditions? They say no, and then they tell me that they're on an antihypertensive medication. So we were trying to capture these individuals. This is a unique feature in our analysis that's not been done in previous analyses. So therefore, we define individuals as being unaware if they did not report previously being told by a healthcare provider they had this condition, were not on medications, but met clinical guidelines for having this diagnosis. Similarly, we defined individuals as having control of their condition if they're aware of having it and met clinical guidelines for control. We defined individuals as being uncontrolled if they were either aware of their chronic condition but did not meet the clinical guidelines for control, or if they were unaware of having this condition. We chose the following covariates based on previously published literature, including age, sex, race, and year of survey. In order to address the differences between a Medicaid-insured population and an uninsured population, we additionally included control for self-reported disability status and presence of at least one chronic condition. For our analytic approach, we first examined the association between Medicaid and outpatient provider visits with a simple stratified count frequencies, comparing people with Medicaid versus the uninsured, and then employing logistic regression, controlling for the covariates that I just mentioned. We then did a similar analysis looking at the association between having Medicaid coverage and awareness and control for the different chronic conditions, again using regression and controlling for the same covariates. So let's now turn to the results. So as you can see, we are presenting here first the demographics for our comparison groups. So as one might expect, just based on prior literature, individuals with Medicaid were more likely to be women, 68.7% versus 45% in the uninsured. More likely to be Black in individuals with Medicaid, 29% versus 14% in the uninsured. Less likely to be Hispanic with 18% versus 30%. Individuals with Medicaid were also more likely to self-report having a disability, 39% versus 8.5%. And they were more likely to report have at least one chronic illness, 56% versus 33%. So here we present the outpatient visit frequencies amongst the uninsured and the Medicaid population. But you can see along the x-axis is the number of outpatient visits per year in the categories provided by the survey instrument, and the percentage of patients reporting that having that number of visits either for the uninsured group or the Medicaid group. Drawing your attention first to the graph for the uninsured, you will notice that 60% of individuals who were uninsured reported having zero or one visit to a provider in the last year. And with increasing there's a decreasing frequency with an increasing number of reported visits. In contrast, for individuals with Medicaid, 8% reported not having any prior visits to a provider in the last year. And the frequency distribution curve has shifted towards the right, where there is now a peak occurring at 4 to 9 visits per year. I've included this red arrow as a reminder for comparison to the Oregon Health Insurance Experiment, which reported that their uninsured individuals had on average 5.5 visits to a provider per year, which appears different than what we're seeing in our national sample. So next, we looked at the comparison between people who had Medicaid insurance versus those who are uninsured, specifically on reporting having any outpatient provider visits. In our unadjusted analysis, we observed that individuals with Medicaid have an 8.4 increased odds of having at least one visit to a provider in the prior year compared to the uninsured. When we adjust for the covariates I previously mentioned, there is still a 5 times increased odds of having at least one visit to a provider in the last year amongst Medicaid individuals. So next, we looked at the association between having Medicaid insurance and the awareness and control of different chronic conditions. In this forest plot, what you'll observe is any odds ratio greater than 1 favors improved outcomes with Medicaid coverage. Amongst individuals who have diabetes, there was no change in awareness or control of chronic disease. But amongst individuals who had hypertension, there was a significant improvement in both awareness and control for those with Medicaid, a non-significant improvement in awareness and control for those with hypercholesterolemia, and a statistically significant increase in awareness for individuals who have overweight. Due to the very small sample size of individuals who were previously diagnosed with being overweight or obese, but were subsequently able to actually achieve a healthy BMI, we were unable to look at control for overweight in this study. So in conclusion, we observed that in a low-income individuals, Medicaid is associated with an increased number of outpatient provider visits and awareness and control of some chronic conditions. The strengths of this study derive from the fact that it's a nationally representative sample and the availability of physical examination and laboratory data to enable us to control more rigorously for chronic illness. The main limitations center on the fact that this is observational design, and therefore there may be residual confounders above and beyond what we're able to control for. We believe there's some important policy implications from this work. First, states that expand Medicaid are likely to see improved access to care and health outcomes as compared to states that don't expand. And we believe that this raises the question about the Oregon Health Insurance Experiment's generalizability to the national population, specifically raising concerns that it may underestimate the effects of Medicaid nationally. If so, this may be related to the robust safety net available in the Portland metropolitan area, attenuating the effects of Medicaid. And others have also proposed that it had low statistical power to detect differences in physical health measurements. So despite its limitations for Medicaid, which include the fact that several providers don't accept Medicaid-insured patients and increasingly cost-sharing, it remains that Medicaid, until we have a better insurance option, remains the best insurance to protect the health of low-income individuals. So here are my references, and thank you for your attention. I'll open up the floor for questions. Yes, question up front. Oh yeah, so the question is about the study population and whether using the income cutoff of the federal poverty line was used to define Medicaid for uninsured. Thanks for clarifying this. Let me specify a little bit more clearly. We took our study sample of individuals to be non-elderly adults living before the federal poverty line and then used self-report for insurance status to determine if people had Medicaid insurance or were uninsured. So the attempt to use the 100% federal poverty line cutoff was, to a certain extent, to control for socioeconomic status in these individuals so that we weren't comparing wealthier or uninsured people, for example, to individuals on Medicaid.
So you first identify individuals who have an income level below the 100% federal poverty line and ask them about their insurance status. So I guess my question about that is, my understanding is that the criterion that was used prior to implementation of the Medicaid expansion was actually much lower than that for non-elderly adults. I think the median was somewhere around 60%. So did you attempt to do any kind of sensitivity analysis to see how making adjustments to your criterion might affect your results in any way?
Yeah, so the question was about using 100% federal poverty line cutoff for the study population compared to the fact that Medicaid eligibility in several states is significantly lower, like 60%. So the limitation with the particular data source that we used was that we don't get state-level data to be able to compare between states. And so to a certain extent, this study is looking at Medicaid, acknowledging it's a very heterogeneous insurance depending on the state that you look at. So that's why we used individual self-report for having Medicaid coverage, and there are some prior studies that have validated in the NHANES instrument. Self-report is actually an accurate measure, a pretty accurate measure of whether individuals do have Medicaid insurance versus don't have uninsured or are uninsured. And so the reason for including below the 100% federal poverty line is more sort of as a measure to sort of create parity in the comparison groups that we're using. Does that answer your question? Okay.
We'll take one more question.
Okay.
Seems like it would be handy for you to do is to go to the Oregon data and look at what the descriptive characteristics of that sample are, and then think of ways that you could reweight or match a sample from the NHANES so that it looked like the Oregon study, or in other words, what would you have to do in terms of weights to reweight the Oregon sample so that it looked like a national Medicaid population? Something like that, I think, more directly to the question of whether Oregon is talking about a different group of people, or if it's that the Oregon system is different from the nationwide system. I'm not sure here. I think that point gets a little bit muddled because you don't know specifically how different the populations are.
Right. So the question comment being around looking at the patient population specifically in Oregon versus kind of the systems, and how do you determine to a certain extent what is the comparison. So just to address that particular issue, I have something interesting, more of the systems level comparison between Portland versus the rest of the country. So what you'll see on this left-hand side is a map showing where the federally qualified health centers are in the U.S. And I did not pull this up for Oregon, but what you can appreciate is that it's really centered in the Portland metropolitan area, which is the area where the Oregon Health Insurance Experiment was conducted. And the fact that the rest of the state, certainly has much significantly fewer. And in this second graph, or map rather, on your right-hand side, this outlines the medically underserved areas. And so areas that are in red highlight areas with more need. And they don't align on the map. It's in a different location. So I think to a certain extent this gets at just sort of visually trying to get an appreciation for what the difference is between Portland versus the rest of Oregon even, versus certainly the rest of the country. And pulling some data from the Dartmouth Atlas as well, I just was comparing, so this is certainly a different metric, just looking at the number of primary care physicians per residence, and it's 90 in Portland, compared to where I was practicing, it was 65. It's certainly different than the national average here. So I think that provides a little bit of context for the difference in the healthcare systems. You're right that it would be certainly interesting to do a more head-to-head comparison of the patient population. Within NHANES, we didn't have the same granularity of data that they had in the Oregon study, which was originally one of our interests for concern for embarking on this project. But you raised a really valid point in comparison.
Thank you, Dr.
Kirsten.